Hey team, welcome to Rewriting Wellbeing, the Teacher's Health Podcast, the show that helps you thrive and not just survive, both in and out the classroom. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. You are joined as always by me, your host, Charlie Burley, the Teacher's Health Coach, and I hope you're doing really well today and you've had a great week so far. Before we get into today's episode, I just want to say if you hear any odd sounds or squeaks or scrapes, it is my chair. I don't know what's going on with it. It feels like someone's taken a screw or two out of it. And if I fall off, you'll hear a big bang, but hopefully it'll be all right. I'll try not to be too animated. Today, I want to talk to you about something that is probably going to be a bit uncomfortable. So I'm going to start with a question. What regrets will you have on your deathbed? And that's a horrible question, I know. And if you are still listening, if you're still with me, I really hope that this episode today is going to be useful. I hope it's going to be insightful. And my greatest hope is that it's going to be inspiring for you. Now, in the team this week, we've been talking a lot about the book, The Five Regrets of the Dying by Bronnie Ware. And I found it inspiring, intriguing. And I know it sounds incredibly morbid, but actually I found it really moving and motivating. So Bronnie was a palliative care nurse and worked with many patients in their final days. And over that time, she has been fortunate enough to be able to have incredibly meaningful and uniquely honest conversations with her patients. And people would share their deepest thoughts, their fears, their regrets about their lives, because they were eager to pass on the lessons that they've learned to somebody else. Because as she puts it, why wouldn't they? They're literally about to leave this world. And this has really got me thinking about how I'm living my life and how, for the clients in the teachers team, what they could do to make changes to how they're living and how I can support them with that so that they can live their best life. They can live a life that they love. So we've made this book the focus of this week's topic training in the week just gone. And we've looked at the lessons that we can learn and take away from it. So today I want to share a little bit more about that with you because I want you to have the same to be impacted in the same way as the team have been this week. So Bronnie discovered five common regrets that people had, and to quickly sum them up into one quick quote from the book, she said, "In the end, what mattered most to people is how much happiness they have brought to those they love and how much time they have spent doing things that they themselves love," which I think is just such a beautiful way to look at life. And for me, it really, really hits home. So before we get into what the regrets are, I'm going to give you a quick overview of them. So here are the five regrets. I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. I wish I had had the courage to express my feelings. I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. And the fifth one, I wish I'd let myself be happier. So for me, those regrets serve as a really powerful reminder of what truly matters in life. And today we're going to explore each of them in a bit more detail and discuss what we can learn from them and from the experiences of those who have shared these regrets at the end of their lives. So let's go into that first one. I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. And for me, this is a powerful reflection on the importance of authenticity. So what does it mean to live authentically then? What does it mean to be true to yourself? In my mind, it means having the courage to follow your own path, to make the choices that align with your values and what you want, and to go after and pursue your dreams and passions. And I know that sounds a bit trite, and I know it sounds a little bit cheesy, but that's what it means, right? It's about being true to yourself, regardless of those external pressures and expectations. And I know for a fact, because you're human, you sitting there listening to me right now, you are thinking of an example of that in your life. And maybe it's from a colleague, maybe it's from a parent, maybe it's from a sibling, maybe it's from a partner. But we've all had the expectations of others put on us, or even sometimes we have the expectations we think others have of us placed on ourselves by ourselves. So for each of these regrets and these lessons, I just want to give you a couple of things to reflect on at the end of each one. So for that first regret, I want you to ask yourself, are there any areas of your life where you're not living authentically? Is there a dream or a passion that you've put on hold? What steps can you take to align your life more closely with your true self? Just a few things to ponder there. If you want to, give this podcast a pause. Take some time to think about that before you move on. So moving on to our second regret, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Now, as teachers, this is something we talk about all the time on the podcast. I'm not going to go on about this one too much because actually, there are a lot of episodes on this podcast already talking about life-work balance, life-work harmony, avoiding burnout, overcoming overwhelm, balancing your workload, all these other things. So for this one, I just want to ask you a few short questions. Are you satisfied with your current life-work balance? Is it serving you? What adjustments can you make to ensure that you're not sacrificing your personal life and your family life for teaching? Just a couple of questions. So moving on to our third regret. I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. And for me, this underscores the importance of completely open and honest communication. Something as for us as humans, we can sometimes find quite awkward. And you know, even with the people closest to us, in fact, sometimes especially with the people closest to us, we can find it really difficult to express how we feel for fear of them, you know, changing their opinion or falling out of love with us or judging us for whatever reason, which of course is very, very unlikely to happen, but it still is a fear anyway. Expressing our thoughts and emotions is essential for building those meaningful connections and also resolving conflicts. We know about oxytocin, that love and connection hormone. We know that it's not just released and increased when we are hugging or we are spending time together or we're practicing gratitude. It's also increased and released when we are going through times of struggle with each other and resolving those conflicts. It's also heightened then, so we know how important that is. Think about these situations for me for a second. Think about that unspoken love, you know, someone who never tells a close friend how much they mean to them, or someone that, you know, they really, really care about, how grateful or thankful for them that they actually are. That person who is always avoiding conflict because they, you know, the fear, again, of what people will think and say stops them from discussing their needs and concerns just to keep some peace. And actually they end up living a life where they are simply people-pleasing and never being true to themselves just because they don't want to upset others. Or that person who regrets in silence, you know, the individual who never shares their aspirations, their dreams, because again, they fear the judgment, they fear the rejection. We know that we are a tribal species and that belonging to the tribe and not being cast out is probably one of our most deepest, darkest sort of drivers for what we do. The thing is, courageous communication is going to lead to deeper connections and a life with fewer regrets. That's the bottom line. So take a moment to reflect. Are there feelings that you have been holding back? Is there something that you need to express to someone important in your life? What steps can you take to be more open or authentic in your communication? So the fourth regret is I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends. And for me, this one emphasizes the value of maintaining those meaningful connections in life. And it, you know, it might not be a friendship, it might be a relationship or a familial relationship as well. But those connections are a source of support, of joy, of shared experiences. But again, we can sometimes neglect those in the hustle and bustle of day-to-day life. So think about these situations, you know, someone who drifts away from a childhood friend or a school friend or someone they went to uni with because they've moved town or city and they, you know, we don't make effort to stay in touch. Or the person who becomes so consumed by teaching and, you know, just keeping their head above water in the family life that they actually have little time for friends. And towards the end of their life, they realise they haven't got many people around them to spend their retirement with, for example. Or the person who, and again, after COVID, this is particularly important, the person who gets into that kind of regretful isolation where they isolate themselves from friends because they are going through a hard time. And instead of reaching out and seeking support, they become, you know, insular. They turn inward on themselves. And Johnny Lawrence, the self-development coach, who is our in-house mindfulness and mindset coach, talks a lot about the difference between depression and rage, and that depression can sometimes be anger or, you know, those feelings of sadness or loneliness that turn inward on ourselves, whereas rage is those emotions coming outward and being an external expression of them. It's really important to maintain and strengthen those relationships throughout life. So let's take a moment to quickly reflect on that. Are there any friendships that you feel you are neglecting? Is there someone you feel that you need to reach out to? What actions could you take going forward to nurture those friendships? Again, if you need to, take a pause and come back to the podcast. Okay, the fifth and final regret, and this for me is really, really powerful. I wish I had let myself be happier. Now, I love that. I wish I'd let myself. You know, happiness is a choice, which we'll talk about in a second. And again, this calls attention to the importance of actively pursuing happiness and positivity in our lives. Now, I'm not talking about toxic positivity. I'm a big, big believer that when things are really blooming crap, you can call a spade and you can say, this is terrible. I'm in the pit and I just need to sit here. I need to feel my feelings before I'm ready to climb back out again. And that is absolutely fine. I've got no time at all for toxic positivity. But it's really important to remember that a lot of this is a personal choice, and we can choose to change our perspectives, and we can choose to do the things day to day that will make us happier. And as cheesy as it sounds, happiness is not a destination, it is a journey. It is about finding joy and contentment in the present moment rather than constantly waiting for a better tomorrow, constantly saying, I'll be happy when, you know, I'll be happy when I lose this weight. I'll be happy when school calms down a bit. I'll be happy when, you know, my partner finds a better job, or I'll be happy when my children reach this age. We're simply basically wishing our lives away. So think about these examples. You know, the person who spends their life always worrying about the future, always missing out on the beauty of the present. Or that person who habitually focuses on what's wrong and really lets that negativity bias overtake their mind, rather than appreciating all the things they got to be grateful for and everything that's going right in their life. Or the person who allows fear and self-doubt to prevent them from pursuing their passions and dreams. Again, coming back to that. Happiness is a choice, and it is a choice that we can make every single day. And it involves changing our mindset. And it involves actively seeking out the gratitudes and positivity, because no matter what is going on in your life, there is something to be positive about. And I'm looking out my window now and it is beautifully sunny. I mean, it's bloody cold today, but it's beautifully sunny. And the amount of time over the last fortnight that we've had rain and wind and storms, and, you know, it's been horrible outside. And actually, it's a beautiful day today. And just sitting there and going, you know what, it's pretty nice outside. That actually does help us release that oxytocin, release that serotonin to feel more joyful. So because I really, really believe in this one, I think this is something that we need to get behind. I'm going to give you a few practical strategies to help you embrace that happiness. And the first one is gratitude, you know, practicing daily gratitude, reflecting on things that you're thankful for. Now, it doesn't need to be you sitting with your legs crossed, you know, hovering 4 inches off the ground, or meditation or anything like that. Although meditation is an amazing practice. Doesn't need to be anything like that. And I know that when I say gratitude, that's the connotation a lot of people's brain brings to the front of their mind. But it can be something like sitting down at the end of the day and thinking, what am I proud of? What's gone well today? What am I grateful for? You know, these small things. The second thing then is going to be mindfulness. And this is simply the act of learning to be present and savor the small moments. It doesn't need to be anything grand. You don't need to be, you know, going really deep with this stuff. It can be having a nice cup of coffee and thinking, you know what, that tastes pretty damn good. Like, I'm really enjoying this cup of coffee, or I've slaved over this meal for half an hour. I'm really enjoying this meal, and just being present in the moment. That's all it means. The third one then is going to be to pursue your own passions. You know, take steps towards your own dreams and passions. And I think that's the fourth time I've mentioned that, because that's something for me that is very, very close to my heart. I spent a long time not going after things I wanted to do and not doing things that meant a lot to me. Again, for that fear of judgment, for that fear of what other people would say. You've got to go after them, even if it presents you with potentially your biggest challenge of your life. And finally then, seek support. Don't be afraid to seek help, whether that's professionally, whether that is with friends and family. If you are struggling with something, seek out that support. So let's take a quick second to reflect on that one. Are there any areas in your life where fear or negativity is holding you back from being happier? What steps could you take to choose that happiness a little bit more often? So those are the 5 regrets of the diet. Now, it's completely understandable why we might feel like we have to take the safe road at the moment. You know, just look at the past few years. We've had the COVID pandemic, and now at the time of recording this, September 23rd, 2023, we're actually in the middle of a bit of an economic downturn, which, as with everything, this too shall pass. You know, things will get better again. And we also know that our brains love stability. They love familiarity and they love comfort more than anything else. And they will do whatever they can to keep you walking the path that you're currently on. They love homeostasis. They will always choose stability and security, even if it will leave you in a worse place down the line, whether that's with your diet, whether that is with something at school, whether that is making a career change, whether that is, you know, leaving a relationship. No matter what it is, your brain will keep you in your comfort zone because it's trying to keep you safe. The truth is, though, there's nothing more risky than staying where you're not happy. 100% certainty is only ever going to be available to you in hindsight. Everything's a risk. Even the things that feel like surefire bets are still a risk. And yes, change is hard. Like, it's really, really hard. And anyone who leads you to believe otherwise isn't being completely honest with you. And there's that saying that we don't take the step to change until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of the change. But the brutally honest bottom line for you today is that if you don't like where you are, you can change it. You are not a tree. You can move. And that doesn't mean house or job or school necessarily. It might be with your movement. It might be with your daily habits. It might be with your relationship. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to be healthy. You deserve to live a life that you love on your terms and to have absolutely no regrets when it's all said and done. Now, for me, that is what health and well-being is all about. It's about allowing you to live a life that you love and to enjoy the journey. Now, again, it might be connected to your weight, life-work balance, improving your self-belief. It doesn't really matter what those changes are. What matters is that you now know that it is possible, no matter how far off it might seem. And making the decision to change is always going to be the hardest part. But once you set your mind on it, it's incredible how much of a weight is instantly lifted as if by magic. Be your own future friend. You owe it to yourself. Take the leap. So whether it is any, you know, healthy habits, something at school, an issue with a family member, whatever it is, as Jim Carrey said, you can fail at what you don't want, so you might as well take a chance on doing what you love. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to wake up in 50 years with a head full of shoulda, woulda, couldas. I want to get to the end of my days and I want to look back and smile and think, you know what, that was a pretty bloody awesome ride. I'm happy with that. Those are some good innings. I spent my time well. Surely you do too. Anyway, team, I'm going to wrap up this week's episode there. I've really enjoyed recording this one and I hope that you've enjoyed listening and I hope it's given you an awful lot to think about. If you are ready to make a change, if you just want to jump in and you'd like to find a bit more out about how I can help, you can just drop me a message over on Instagram at the teacher's health coach, separated by dots. So the dot teacher's dot. Or you can send me an email at charlie@theteachershealthcoach.co.uk. Thanks for joining me. Take care, team, and I'll see you in the next one.